Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details. Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit Lowe's.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous U.S. only.
We are a weekly podcast, Soul of a Gamer.
Hey, I'm smart this time. Well, I did not, this
let's
time.
Let's not go that far, okay?
I will fuck it up again.
I love pressing that button. That was my favorite button.
This game gets really fucking weird.
Yeah, so you do acid and then you go into the hamster shit.
And this week is...
Night Trap.
Night Trap.
They're right behind you, Night Trap.
10-year-old birthday party. Next scene, kill the kid.
You got to kill the kid. Sha-la-la-la-la-la, car is coming. Throw your body into the car and die. All I could do every time I was playing Ethan was just... would start walking around and go, Jason!
Oh, God.
It counted down.
It did. It knows how to count, just like you know how to count.
Yep. One.
We all know
five,
how to count.
10. 12.
Well, at least you're...
7.
Do you know some numbers?
I did know numbers.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello.
I'm Scott.
And I'm Steven.
And this is Soul of a Gamer podcast, where each week we play a game, we give you the breakdown of the making of the game, and we tell you what we think, how we think the game did.
Yes.
We hope you enjoyed our last week's game.
Oh, it was Pacific Drive.
Yes, Pacific Drive. We liked that game. It was like a love-hate relationship with that game.
Yes.
I was hoping to give an update on whether it won the award, but I didn't watch the Game Awards.
I don't think it won any awards.
It probably didn't, but it was up for best new, if I remember right, best new indie game.
Oh God, what won best new indie game?
I don't know. But anyway,
can't remember,
it doesn't matter.
But it wasn't that.
Whatever won it did a great job.
Yes.
But yeah, that was our last week's game. This week we are playing Ape Escape, numero uno. Because apparently there's like 15.
Is there really like 15 of them? Do you?
I saw at least 4, so I assume they just kept making them.
I have no idea. This is the first time I've played any of these.
Yeah, I mean, it was okay, but I guess we'll get into that a little later. For now, Steven, what the fuck have you been playing this week?
All right, so actually I tried a different kind of game, a different indie game, actually. I tried this game called Neon White.
Mm-hmm.
It is kind of like a... speedrunning action platformer in a way. You just like go on these really short runs and you have to try to get the fastest time going through it. And you're like these demons, or not these demons, you're these people that were murdered and you didn't go to hell. You did something in your life that was good enough for you to be able to compete in heaven as a neon, and you have to run through floors of demons, killing all these demons to get a potential to get a shot back into heaven for 1 year.
Interesting.
And you have to do the tournament back over again. Yeah.
So every year you have to redo this fucking run.
Yep.
It's just like, you know what that is?
What?
Oh my God, that's Fable.
Oh, yeah.
That's the first Fable. Remember when you're locked up in the prison and you have to do the race every year to meet the warden to try to get the key to get out? And if you fail, you just redo it the next year and you keep doing that every fucking year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
But yeah, no, it's really cool. And actually, as far as like, it's pretty easy as far as the platforming of it. It's more of like getting the combos and the action and the just run through. And you do these abilities that like take down enemies, and then the enemies drop cards, and you, you can use the cards as a weapon, like as guns to shoot through, or you can use a discard the card ability, like elevate or use a throw a bomb or something else like that. It's really fun and really awesome, like anime graphics, and kind of get that like text to talk kind of speech for some of it, and some of it's actually like cutscenes. But it's just been really fun. What have you been playing?
Same as before, a lot of card shop simulator. It's been too much fun.
I bet you're ahead of me now.
Yep. I've been, you know, I'm still into Stardew. I'm still doing Pokemon and stuff too at the same time. But I've really been focusing on card shop simulator.
I mean, that's a good one to focus on.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's about it for me. So you want to jump right into this?
Yeah, let's go for it. Give us the
As always, we start out with the background of the story of the game as well as what the game is. Ape Escape is an action-adventure platformer game that follows the adventures of Spike as he searches time for monkeys. These monkeys are led by Spectre, a monkey who has stolen a device from the professor to make him intelligent but also crazy. Spike must stop the monkeys while also facing against his best friend.
Yep.
So
Planet of the Apes meets Speed Racer.
Yeah, kind of. I will say the bad guy in this game did look very anime.
Very anime, yeah.
Like, it's almost like Final Fantasy VII anime, you know?
For sure. Yeah, it kind of is. And, like, even, like, the hairstyle and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We talked about this guy before, the creative director. He worked on that game Gravity Rush.
Yeah, Gravity Rush, that's what it was.
So, a lot of anime-inspired stuff in Gravity Rush as well, you know?
Yeah.
So, Ape Escape started developing in 1996. They took 2.5 years in making the game. Ape Escape is the first game made by Sony to require the DualShock controller. The controller features 2 analog sticks instead of the digital 4-button movements used previously. They wanted to make the Switch after Nintendo had made their Nintendo 64 controller completely analog. Creative director Susumu Takatsuka, I think that's how you say it, said that using the DualShock controller was the hardest part of programming the game. He also said that he loved how many options the controller had versus the traditional controllers. When using an analog controller, it gives a lot more freedom with movements and positions. For example, when using a bow, you could slightly move the stick back for a less powerful shot or pull it back fully for the most powerful shot. This led to more capabilities for the game. What's really interesting about that is they go into it and they're like, you know, basically with the 4-button input movement, you have 4 or I think 8 options is the most you can have with those.
Yes.
So with an analog stick, you have 4 million different things you can do.
Yeah, because it's like all those little like micro movements.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like he even said, like, it might not seem important, but in the long run of things, it's super important to have this analog stick because it really does, like, it takes movement. And, you know, I say movement only because that's really what the analog sticks are famous for. Takes movement into an entirely different direction in the game.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, it was so rigid before. You only literally went 1 of 8 directions. It was kind of like a compass where you're just like, I have to go this east, west, northwest, southwest, whatever. And then you get that free rain of motion where you can just spin in circles if you want to.
Yeah. I didn't include this in the story, but Sony and Xbox actually both got sued over their analog sticks.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they stole it from another company who had patented it back in like 1994 or 2 or something.
Ooh, they stole it.
And the only reason Nintendo was able to get out of the lawsuit is because they published their stuff in Japan. And Japan doesn't have the same kind of
like laws governing
that the U.S.
law
has.
For that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and because of that, they were able to not get part of the suit and then also kind of shift it to become part of that company because they bought into the company as well because they wanted to continue using it in the U.S.
Oh, okay, nice.
So, and then eventually Sony, like Xbox, had to really give up on the lawsuit too because it was like, I can't even remember what, I don't remember what Xbox did, but I know they gave in pretty fast. They paid out the suit and then bought into the company as well. And then Sony decided not to pay out the suit and then lost the lawsuit, had to pay them $80 million companies. And in addition to that, had to pay into the company if they wanted to keep using their shit.
Damn.
I'm like, come on, Sony. Come on. Like, you know you stole
Sometimes
it.
Sometimes you just gotta
out.
Give up. Yeah.
Yeah, right? Like, you absolutely know you stole it. Someone in your fucking team made a mistake.
Fair. That's fair.
But, yeah. This led to a lot more capabilities for the game. Takatsuka
right.
really liked how the team were able to give all of the apes personalities that were unique as well. He enjoyed mm-hmm. the humor that came with assigning the apes personalities. The minigames in the game was some of the most fun things the team did for development as well. The creators for the game said that their favorite devices were the flipper, which allowed the player to jump higher, and the remote-controlled car.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah,
saying that it was cool how you had to use the DualShock in order to get the devices to work appropriately.
Fair.
Music for the game was developed by Soichi Torada. He is famous for developing the music for the Rush Hour movie.
That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah. He did all the music for Rush Hour.
I love
anything
movies.
That wasn't like already a song. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Theme
yeah.
and shit. Voice actors for the game were Scott McGregor as Spike, Peter Baham as Jake, Michael Souza as the Professor, Christiane. So this is the dumbest way to spell his name ever. C-R-C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-A-I-A-N-E. Christiane.
I mean,
I don't judge people's spelling, even though I just don't understand why they fucking... Their parents are just assholes,
hey,
I think.
You just gotta be unique sometimes, you know?
I guess. I bet they go by Christy a lot.
We have the most basic-ass names ever.
Yeah, which is fine. Christiane Crawford as Natalie, Pete Burrows as Spectre, Peggy Small as Casey, and Susan Michelle as additional voices. The game was announced in the official PlayStation magazine. That was a thing back in the day. I don't think it is anymore.
I don't think so either.
Yeah, the game was released as a demo twice, the first time released by Sony, and the disc featured games Ape Escape, Bloody Roar 2, The Next Tetris, MLB 2000, 3 Extreme, Elmo's Letter Adventure,
ooh.
Xena Warrior Princess, R4 Fuck Ridge it. Race Type 4.
Okay.
And the only game on here that I know besides MLB, Tony Hawk Pro Skater.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. The other disc was a promotion from Pizza Hut. This is a cooler disc. I would totally get this okay. disc. It has so many cool demos on it. This disc contained Crash Team Racing, Final Fantasy VIII, Tony Hawk Pro Skater, Ape Escape, and the only thing I don't know, Cool Borders 4, and Borders is spelled like a skateboard. So I assume it's like either like a snowboard or skateboarding game.
Yeah, I don't know that one.
No, yeah, I mean, it's
but that
the
is a better
in
disc.
The series. We don't know what the fuck it is at all. So
that's fair.
The game was released between June 22nd and July 2nd, 1999. The game was then remade for the Sony PSP and re-released in 2005 with revamped controls. This was due to the fact that the PSP did not have two analog sticks.
Yes.
And that's it. It's the whole story. It wasn't a lot on that one, guys.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, a lot of the Japanese companies, like, yeah, they don't really talk about all they went through to do this. Like, I saw a 5-minute documentary on the game, and I'm like, 5 minutes? That's all you got to talk about how it took you 2.5 fucking years to make this game?
Yeah, I feel like games like this didn't have, like, a lot of, like, media hype towards it until the mass media really blew it up. Like, this has become,
you know,
like, a cult following kind of game. What's that?
There was a bunch of reviews for the stuff, which I thought were funny, and I'll just tell you now because I remember what I had in the reviews. So the reviews, basically, they're all like saying how this game is stellar, how the level layout is amazing, how this is the best game to come out, how it's better than Mario in level system, than Sonic in level system.
Yeah.
It's like really interesting how the dual analog stick worked. And then one of the reviews was really funny. It's like, you can download 3 images of the game on our website. Please do that. It just makes me laugh because you're like, who the fuck wants the images of the game? Free download.
I do.
So
I want to see Spike. I just want to have a picture of Spike to put as my wallpaper,
well,
you know,
what I
or
think
my
it
MySpace
is,
profile page.
Remember back in the day, you could make a desktop icon in the background.
Yeah.
And they probably didn't have a lot of free source desktop icons like we do. And now we can go on Google and download any source code we want. Back in the day, I don't think you could do that. So they basically gave them 3 desktop icons, I think, which I thought was funny.
You need those wallpapers, man.
Yeah, like, it is. It's kind of funny. I thought it was entertaining when I saw that, because that review, I think, came out in the game came out in 99, so I think the review came out 98 with the demo disc.
Okay.
So, very early PCs.
Fair.
But all right, yeah, so that's it for the story. Let's jump into the best and the worst.
Yeah. So best, weirdly, catching the monkeys is the best part. I don't know why, but it just is kind of fun. Like, I hate the controls for it.
Yeah. We'll talk about that with the worst, but.
Yes. But honestly, like, the catching of the monkeys is kind of fun. It's a little more challenging than I would think, with the controls mainly making it challenging. But just even, like, they're just, like, weird. Like, they're saying the kind of different personalities they have. Like, some of them, like, really run around. Some of them pull pranks. Some of you, like, throw shit at you the entire time. Like,
yeah.
They do feel different, and that is kind of like a fun part about the game.
Yeah. I mean, I think best is a lot of the devices are actually really cool.
Yeah.
Like, they are actually like the flipper thing that makes you jump super high. I thought that was fucking sweet.
Yeah.
They do a really good job with the hint system in this game.
They do. They do.
So one of the things that they'll have is these little mailboxes that have hints. And if you hit it, the problem is they don't really explain.
Lowe's knows how to get you ready for holiday hosting with up to 35% off select home decor. And get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, members get free delivery, haulaway, basic installation, parts, and a two-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 10-1. Member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Installed by independent contractors. Exclusions apply. See Lowe's.com for more details.
And how to get the hint. It had took me a long time to figure out that I had to hit the mailbox in order to get the hint if I didn't give it to me while walking up to it. But a lot of the times it'll say, hey, you know, this area is for when you get a certain gadget. So don't be here if you don't have that certain gadget, which is really nice. Helpful because then, you're not wasting all your time in that area trying to figure out how to get up to the monkey that you can't get to.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I mean, I think the gadgets were... Definitely my second favorite part. Yeah.
And so, like, the flipper, like I said, it's the one that makes you jump high. You had a cool remote control race car. You had the
hula hoop thing.
Yeah, the hula hoop thing that goes around you that makes you run fast. You had the
radar
and the stun baton.
Yes.
As well, the stun baton and the net were kind of automatic Gibbs.
Yeah.
But they are good stuff that was in there, too. There was a couple more things because there was 8 total. I want to say
there was
eight
the underwater thing, but that was kind of another
like the net and everything.
Yeah,
yeah. Again, another one that they had to give; otherwise, you wouldn't be able to do much.
What was the
whatever
other
else there was? They're really cool gadgets. They were a lot of fun just to sit there and fuck with a lot. So, and the game really does have a lot of ways to get around, which is cool. Like,
traditionally,
you'd get from point A to point B in like a Mario game by doing exactly the way they want or finding a game-breaking bug that can get you from point A to point B. But in this game, like, they put all these gadgets in here, and now there's so many ways to get from point A to point B.
It's true.
Yeah. So,
well, and I did like the freedom of the game a little bit, and I did like that it kind of left it open. And like a lot of maps, it's like there's 13 monkeys, you have to find 6. And you're like, oh, cool. So I could even pick the 6 I want to go after.
Yeah, and so a lot of the times we'll have 6 really easy ones and then 6 kind of challenging ones if there's 12, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
So now we get into the worst. The control scheme for this game is absolute fucking trash.
It's dog shit.
Yeah. So they decided to have, you know, and I don't like the PlayStation controller. I think its format is really fucking stupid. The DualShock thing where they put both thumbstick at the bottom of the fucking controller and made you use the D-pad as your movement is really annoying, or make you like really stretch your fucking thumbs out so you can move. I've never liked the PlayStation controller.
That's fair.
Always felt it's a very forced system. But in this game, they didn't even give you like a way to move your body and the camera around you because they made the D-stick the camera movement or the D-pad and then the left thumbstick the fucking movement. I'm like, how am I supposed to do that with one fucking hand?
Yeah, that. And so I always had to have my controller in such a weird position with my hand to like kind of accommodate these weird controls. But then also, like, I even tried reformatting the controls, and it's so hard to even reformat it in a way that makes it work.
Yeah.
Like, you just kind of have to get used to the way it works. And if you also can, it's okay. But like, a lot of it's inverted
it
too.
Yeah. Like, you got to understand your jump button is fucking R1 and R2.
It's terrible.
It is not any, like, there's no semblance of normalcy.
No.
At the very least, what Nintendo did back then was make all the games kind of cookie cutter when it came to controls.
Yes.
And this way, nobody has a big learning curve when they're going into a game. You know, when you think of games like Madden, they've been cookie cutter for their controls since it came out in the 2000s, right?
Yeah, like right trigger is always going to be sprint. Is always going to be hurdle.
Yeah. it's just, to me, it's important to keep that cookie cutter control scheme, because when you give people more challenging controls, they tend to drop the game.
Yeah,
that's probably why this game wasn't as popular as maybe it should have been. Because this game is really fucking cool, but I think the controls really ruined it.
I have to agree with that full-heartedly.
Yeah, and it was so hard playing, guys.
Having the thumbstick, the right thumbstick, be the thing that you use to catch the monkeys, and you had to use it in the right direction. So it was just so dumb.
That was the stupidest thing in the world. So guys, what we mean by that is, normally, let's say you want to swing a weapon, you'd normally hit like on a PlayStation controller, maybe like the right square trigger button, maybe the X button, maybe the circle button, almost never the Y button. But one of those three generally will be like a heavy attack or a light attack or whatever. In this game, they decided that the right thumbstick moving in the direction that you press it is where your net is going, no matter which direction you're facing, which makes that really fucking stupid and hard when you're like used to being like almost an automatic. I think this game really needed a targeting system.
I agree.
Keep the camera centered.
Well, I mean, there was like camera center button, but you had to basically like run and keep hitting that button while keep attacking.
But every game has that camera center button, so it's not like unique at all. But they did it so slow too; like it takes so fucking long for it to come back to center.
It really does.
Yeah, so, like, guys, controls in this game garbage, and of course they assigned all the buttons different items you can use.
Yeah,
which I thought was really dumb too, because then you could only have four items when you have the possibility of using 10, so you had to go back to the start screen a lot and then switch your shit out. You know, it reminded me of what is that stupid Zelda game?
Breath of the Wild. Oh, okay.
So, you know how you have to like press start a lot to switch out what you're holding in your hand?
Yeah,
that's kind of,
because the weapon degradation system is just you have to keep using different weapons all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So like, and I get it, there's a certain crowd that really liked that, and that's cool. I didn't.
I fucking hated it.
I like streamlined processes when it comes to using weapons.
For sure.
Yeah. So this game was really hard to play control-wise. It did feel like you're always at a disadvantage playing.
And the worst offender for me in this was the rowboat. I fucking hated the controls of the rowboat.
Oh, my fucking God.
Dude. You had to use both thumbsticks in unison. But somehow it wasn't in unison, because somehow one would always be slower than the other. But you had to rotate the thumbsticks as you would be rotating the paddles with your hand. Yeah. I was like, what the actual fuck is this?
So basically you have to go in opposite directions of each other.
Yes.
Which is fine. But eventually I found out you can just hold up with both thumbsticks and it will move you forward.
Oh, which is, what?
Yeah, you could do that. After like 2 seconds, it would row you forward, because they're like, people are going to get fucking pissed at this.
I just got pissed at that shit.
Yeah, I mean, the robot was so worthless too. It was such like like, just use this to not get shocked by fish.
It wasn't even that bad.
It's like, you don't die instantly, so what the fuck is the point?
And a lot of times you could like jump off a cliff somewhere and like miss most of the fish area and just jump on the platform.
Yeah. It was very annoying, guys.
Yeah.
I think that was just a throwaway mechanic. One of the reviews I read really like praised the rowboat, and I was like, you're a fucking idiot.
Oh, God, yeah.
You haven't played any good games.
It wasn't good ever. That's just terrible.
No. I mean, we are comparing it today, but if I was a kid, this would have pissed me off.
So, it would have pissed me off no matter what age I would have played this. Mm-hmm. This is just terrible in my eyes. Another thing that I didn't like is, I do wish that you could finish exploring the map instead of just being portaled out as soon as you get the targeted amount of monkeys. So if there was 13 monkeys on the map and you only needed 6 to complete it, as soon as you get that 6th monkey, you would get teleported out of the map. You didn't get a choice to stay in it or not, and you'd have to return to the game. I wish you could stay.
I'm half and half about that, because maybe the point of portaling you out was, hey, you got the 6 that you can get.
Yeah.
All the rest, you need all the extra shit to do, so there's no point in you even trying. You know, it could have been that.
But I mean,
they
so
we don't know, but
I think I remember in one of the Spyro games, it even asked, like, do you want to return?
Yeah, yeah. And I agree. I think it'd be good to have the choice, but I also didn't mind it too much, because you could just go right back into the level right after completing it.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, so One thing I really hated is every time they introduced a new gadget, they had to have a tutorial lesson how to use the gadget. And some of them were so easy.
Yeah,
it's like, and it's so easy for some of the stuff, but, you know, I hated the slingshot was the other thing. That was another gear thing. I really liked the slingshot, actually.
I hated the challenges in between, like, every other world, too, where you had to face Spectre or the other kid.
Yeah. So, guys, the movement in this game in general is really blocky. So, if you're on what is essentially a one-by-one, I don't know, what platform, I guess. So, a really skinny platform where your legs hang off on either side when you're walking on it. Like, they used to do that in the 90s with all the games, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's really annoying because there's no way for you to walk actually straight. Because your camera perspective is constantly changing on you. It'll make you go a little bit left, a little bit right. It'll, like, I'll be crawling. I was crawling on the one-by-one thing, and I still somehow fell off. And I'm like, what is happening here? How is it this bad? Yeah, like, that's what you have to do. Is like, as soon as I got the flipper, it was easy. I'd make it, like, a part way down, then jump the rest of the way.
Yep. And that's what the game became. It's just bad. But that's pretty much all I have for the best and the worst.
Yeah, that's me too. And movement's mostly like, it ruins the game, unfortunately, for most people, I feel like.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's move on.
All right, the first few hours of the game, or I guess we should say probably like the first like 1 hour or 2 hours of the game.
Yeah, probably like one hour or 30 minutes or something.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fun. It's a platformer.
Yeah.
You'll either like it or hate it within the first 10 minutes, honestly.
I agree with that. I mean, it's kind of one of those games where you get everything it is, and if you can deal with the jank, then you will find entertainment in it. But if you're just like, this is shit, I don't want to even attempt to do this, then just leave. don't
for
keep
sure.
beating yourself up.
To be honest, as soon as I saw that the right thumbstick was going to be like all my controls, I wanted to quit because I was like, okay, this is really fucking stupid. I hate this. I'm not going to have fun with this. I already know.
So I was debating playing this game for the longest time, and then you brought it up, and then I was like, yeah, we should put this on the list. And then as soon as I started playing it, I felt the same way. I was like, why the fuck am I playing this game?
Like, but God. I will say partway through it, I did like it a little bit better. Yeah. This game really does grow on you, so it kind of
It's got a charm to
itself.
It. It really does.
Yeah, it unfits itself from the two-hour rule.
True.
Because it does take a little bit of getting used to, and then once you are used to it, you kind of have a lot more fun, but you never truly get used to it.
Yeah. That's
like a half and half kind of thing.
Yeah. So I guess next we can go to Steve Achieves, which in this game, the game is about 7 hours long and about 11 hours to 100% complete the game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these things are just completing the game. There's not a lot of like really challenging achievements in this. Capture 100 monkeys, find 40 Spectre coins, get all 8 gadgets, play the 3 mini games like that, and then complete every level or whatever. Yeah. Like, that's literally all the achievements.
In total in the game, by the way, there's 25 mini games.
Yeah.
So there's a shit ton. They do add a lot in this game.
Yeah.
But I kind of expected it to kind of have an unlock system like other games had back then, where if you collect all the coins, you get invulnerability mode, or you know what I mean?
Or something.
Remember that back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, Spyro had that a lot. Like, you get to the last world and you get, like, a lot of times you get, like, the cheat. Like, you get the big head, you get, like, the unlimited flying, you'd get unlimited power-up, dragon power-up or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think that would have been cool for this game.
For sure.
I mean, whatever.
Or
if they don't want to put achievements
net.
In, they don't want to.
That's fair. But yeah, so that's pretty much all there was for Steve Achieves, and I don't have anything for A Hunt for All the Eggs, because there was no hidden secrets in this game. There was no Easter eggs, as far as I could tell. I thought about mentioning, like, games that this has appeared in. Like, I've heard it appears in, like, one of the Metal Gear Solids.
Yeah.
It appears in the new Astrobot, that was just one game of the year. It appears in a couple other things, but I didn't see any references in this game particularly.
Yeah, I mean, so, with a 5-minute documentary, I'm not surprised they didn't do too much. It almost sounds like they weren't into making the game, doesn't it?
Yeah, a little bit.
No secrets in it, no achievements, no real, like, support from Sony itself for it. Like,
this feels like it's a game that was just, like, put out for kids without like any.
What this game was put out for 100% was the DualShock controller.
Yes. It was a gimmick.
It's the first game to need it. Like, you can't play this game without a DualShock controller. It's impossible. True. You can play it on the PSP, which again doesn't have double analog. But before that, you couldn't play it at all without a DualShock. So you literally had to tell your parents, okay, well, I have a PlayStation 1, but I have an OG controller, so you need to go out and spend $50 on the new controller. Otherwise, I can't play any games.
True.
So, I mean, it was an okay game. I guess we're in ratings.
Yeah, I guess that's where we're at this point.
Honestly, I think this is probably a 2. A 2 is probably a fair investment. I think you should still play it at some point if you can get past the first 10 minutes. It's still kind of fun, just it does kind of lose its luster after a very short amount of time.
Yeah. I was kind of in between a 2 and 3, and I'm kind of leaning more towards 2, but I think this would be a game that I think would be perfect for a remake. And I think that like the maps and everything could really benefit from that. I think a company like Toys for Bob, who remade the Spyro trilogy, would be killer for this.
For sure.
Keep everything the same. Just update the clunkiness and the control scheme to
Didn't
a modern
Toys for
control
Bob
scheme.
Also remake CTR?
I think they might have. I can't remember
for
sure. But they've done
a few things.
And they... Crash Team Racing got a remake.
Yeah, I thought so. I'm pretty sure Toys for Bob did it.
I think you're right.
I did.
But, I mean, that's my... Well, I don't know, because Crash is typically Naughty Dog. I didn't know... Naughty Dog might have done
Naughty
it
Dog doesn't generally remake their games.
Oh, I
remember
guess
that's Spyro,
true.
Spyro was also Naughty Dog.
That's fair. Never mind. Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it? I'm pretty sure it was.
I can't remember,
like,
honestly.
30% sure it was Naughty Dog. So we'll say that. But for sure, guys.
I'm not going to put any stake in this one because I have no fucking clue.
I mean, Steven's right. You can play this game. I think in the grand scheme of things, this could be a 3.
Yeah.
And it could even be like a 4 with a remake, I bet. Because the game is entertaining.
Oh, yes.
It's really interesting.
It really is.
Yeah. You kind of think Ape Escape and you don't know how it's going to go. I almost thought it was just going to be a giant, like, one plain map where you just catch monkeys, and then it's completely different from what I thought it would be.
That's fair. Yeah. So, I mean, I definitely wasn't expecting it to be kind of like on the same kind of level design as like a Super Mario 64 or Banjo-Kazooie or anything like that.
I will say the level design is not good, guys. I don't think
it's the
level
the greatest,
design.
No.
No. I think that the people who kept all the reviews I read, it was all like, level design's amazing for this game. I'm like, did you play like Banjo-Kazooie when they did the tree level, because that level was fucking phenomenal, but this is not that.
Yeah, it's hard to compare this to the games like Banjo-Kazooie or Spyro, because they just do everything so perfectly. But
I mean,
this,
like, the maps
levels
are cool.
These levels weren't terrible, and I think they could be reinvented and be similar enough to be really fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so too. I think this game could get a revamp, maybe by Toys for Bob or some other company that's really good for it, but I think gaming is going to become like a thing of the past for people to do, and AI is going to be doing it soon. So the market's such
shit
right now.
I think AI is going to be very helpful, but I don't think they're going to take over.
I don't know, man. The market's such garbage right now. These poor companies are all folding left and right. Fucking sucks.
Yeah, it really does.
My buddy who works for a company down in Denver, I don't want to name it because they just did a bunch of layoffs, but it's like they're losing their people because the modern gaming industry is such shit. And what's crazy is we talked about this with the Baldur's Gate episode.
Yeah.
Because the guy mentioned it. He's like, the industry is just garbage. We're not being innovative. We're just looking for money and that's it. And I'm 100% agreement with that. That's a totally true statement right there.
He actually had another good kind of little tiny speech at the Game Awards this year where he was talking about the... a couple of games that won the awards, they got made games because they cared about making games and they cared about making something for the people, and they didn't care about money or monetization.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that was like, it was like, oh, I love every time he speaks, because it's like he agrees so full-heartedly with the mass majority of what I feel like the gaming profile is of what we want in games.
He absolutely knows that a company needs to make money, but he also knows that they don't need to fucking break the bank every single time they do something.
Yeah, and they don't need to use money as, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like a lot of times companies are just, like, throwing money at a game because they feel like throwing money at the game makes it better.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, that's
if I throw $350 million at Suicide Squad, yeah.
Yeah, we literally saw that with a game that came out this year. I mean,
and then you get a game that spends $30 million, and then it's just the best game ever, and everyone's saying it's
You get, like, Stardew Valley, which has, like, one guy who made it who fucking just did a perfect fucking game. Like honestly, like, the passion of Stardew is so much better than the gameplay of fucking Suicide Squad.
Yeah. Well, and I think this is the hardest thing about what a lot of the things with the Game Awards, and how there's so much controversy in the Game Awards right now, because everyone's like, this game doesn't deserve it. This game doesn't deserve to be nominated. This game, that we all have a different perspective of what Game of the Year is, whether it's the game that had the best feeling or the game that made the biggest difference in the world of gaming that's going to change gaming forever. Like when Dark Souls first came out and got popular, how much Souls-like became such a big thing and how that's everything in the market right now, how
and
battle royales kind of took
Souls
over,
like
and so, like, all these different things, and we all want different things. We all want, some people want the best value for their money, some people want the most hours you can put into a video game, and we all have a different perspective. And some people like the best story wins, so even if it's 2 hours, that's the best game ever.
Yeah.
So it's just so hard to, like, kind of nitpick that. And the bigger the group of gamers we get, and gaming is more popular than it's ever been, the wider variety it's going to be, and the more we're going to be hateful of a lot of things in gaming.
For sure. I mean, one of the best games we played from the last iteration of the podcast was, what was that game called? Killer Frequency? No, that was this iteration. It was the one where you're playing the detective, and you get all the cool powers, and you're trying to figure out who killed the person. Who killed the group of people in the chambers.
Oh,
you know what I'm talking? I think it's called Killer something, Killer Instinct or Killer.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it was, like, such a cool game. Like, that is such a cool game. But that is so outside the norm of what games are.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That game would never have been produced by a real studio, like, for the amount of money that it would have required from a real studio. They would have said, this is dumb. It's never going to make us money.
Even that the Golden Hour one, that time travel one or whatever, the one that we did, that one was so unique too. And we never would have thought we'd play a game like that.
For sure. So take it as a lesson, guys. Games are cool, but only if there's passion in them. Like, really, the money games, they're fun. Apex Legends is fun, but the passion has been out of Apex for so long, it's not even funny.
Yeah.
Now it's just a giant dive into how many microtransactions can we have in one day.
I mean, I feel the same thing with a lot of the different franchises, like Call of Duty. It doesn't feel like Call of Duty anymore.
League of Legends is probably up there.
Yeah. Paradise Killer is that game, by the way.
Paradise Killer, that's the one. Yeah.
Yep.
That was a great game, guys. If you don't, we'll play that at some point for the new iteration of the podcast, but it's an awesome fucking game.
I agree. I hear you. It would be a good one to redo.
All right, well, that's it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed a little rant at the end there. Remember, love games, have some fun with it, buy games, support,
please.
You know, tiny developers. They're working their hardest to give you everything they can. Our next week game, what are we playing?
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah, Indiana Jones in the Great Circle of Circleness.
Divinity,
I think it's called, and anal.
I was going to say the Circle of Truth, but I'm pretty sure that's not right.
I think it's the Great Circle. I'm pretty sure
it's the Great
Circle.
You're probably right, but it sounds better to say Circle of Truth.
I've already got about 10 to 12 hours in it, I think.
Nice. And you like it?
Yeah, I just came out. Right. Troy Baker is Indiana Jones, and during the Game Awards, they actually had Troy Baker and Indiana Jones on stage together with Todd Howard, so that was really cool.
And Indiana Jones?
Harrison Ford.
Oh, okay. I was
they had Indy with Indy.
Where the fuck did they find him? Because he would be like 122 if he was real.
Todd Howard, like, we could say that you had the best indie performance of the year.
Oh my God. All right, guys. Well, with that, we're going to leave you.
Yes.
We'll catch you on next week's episode. Have a good week, guys.
All right. Love you.
Bye.